I looked up the definition of freedom. Freedom is having the ability to act or change without constraint, which of course would be the opposite to bondage. Bondage is a state of being bound, usually by compulsion. And I think, as you know, having freedom does not necessarily guarantee that you would make the right choices, even though you would have the freedom. So, as you know, we're living in some pretty uneasy times, and the primary focus of this fellowship is, of course, the teaching of God's Word. And I've tried to avoid politics. I know during the pandemic, there were some times during the comments before the teaching that I shared a couple of things. And so this morning, being the anniversary of our country, I have a few comments I want to share before we start singing. Friday, I posted on the website, Confidence and Joy, I posted a rather lengthy list of quotes, mostly from our founding fathers. Perhaps some you've never read before, but it's quite a list, and it shows their belief in God, as well as their belief that God had a hand in forming and getting this country going. Because I believe our beginnings truly were based in biblical principles. So feel free to share that post. But Proverbs 29 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And almost 100 years after this country was formed, which began in 1776, almost 100 years later, Marxism, which began with the publishing of the Communist Manifesto in 1848, so almost 100 years later, Marxism, of course, in that publication, heavily promoted the haves versus the have-nots, the oppressed versus the oppressor. In other words, class struggle, endeavoring to get one group to hate another group. And I think that it's very noteworthy that Marxism and Leninism advocates atheism, no God. Meanwhile, the founding of this country, the Constitution of the United States of America, had as part of its core freedom of religion. And specifically, that's stated in the Bill of Rights, the very first amendment, which reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You may have seen in the news recently that China just celebrated 100 years of communism. And it's really frightening when you look back and see what that government for 100 years has done to its people. And you can also look and see what transpired in the 60s with their, they call it the Cultural Revolution, which was basically a purge of people who did not agree with the government. It's frightening to see what that government has done to its people. It's also interesting, and I think noteworthy, that the civil rights movement here in the United States with Dr. King began in a church. And peaceful demonstrations and marches, peaceful. I know there were some fringe people that wanted to do things differently, but the civil rights movement with Dr. King began in a church. And on the other hand, today's so-called civil rights movement is rooted in Marxism. Isn't that interesting? A godless system. And it kind of makes you wonder why any Christian could embrace or even look favorably upon an organization that proudly has its roots in Marxism. But then on the other hand, as you know, Christianity is pretty divided today, right? There's so many different groups of so-called Christianity. And the reason for that, there's only one reason for that, and that is a not a right understanding of the scriptures, the word of God. And I think it was last week or week before we read that verse in 1 Corinthians 12 where God says that there should be no schism, no division in the body. And God's word also says that we should all speak the same thing. And so today, as we celebrate our 245th birthday of the United States of America, we're not a perfect country, but we have and continue to improve. We're still the greatest and most free country in the world. And countless Americans have died protecting not only the freedoms in this country, but protecting freedoms in other countries as well. While we are the most prosperous country, who could begin to calculate how much money and human effort has been given to other countries to help them over the years? I believe it's still the country with the greatest potential for all citizens. You know, when you look at what's going on in the borders, I saw recently where the Border Patrol has reported that people are coming into our country illegally from at least 54 different countries, not just Mexico and South America. And so you wonder, well, why aren't they flocking to China or Russia or Venezuela? The greatest potential really is here in the United States. And I saw an interview with a well-known black actor. I won't tell you his name, but the person interviewing him was, you know, trying to goad him and was saying that, you know, there are some people that just don't have a chance. And he said, that's nonsense. And he said, yeah, but what about people that can't get out of the where they are in their area? And he went, the bus leaves every day. You know, and he wasn't trying to be funny. It was just that, hey, we live in this country. And that particular person came from a very, very poor background as well. I still believe that the potential and possibility for success is the most promising here in the United States. So what do we do in light of what here we are, that we're living in this day and time? And so you could say, oh, I wish things were better. Well, they're not, but we're here. So, and we belong to God. We are God's children. So what do? We do what the scripture says to do in light of all that's going on. And we pray. And we must never forget that regardless of where you live or what kind of government you're stuck with, God's word is still true, no matter what. And his promises are true. And as Christians, we are not hopeless people. We have such a great hope that Christ is coming back one day. And that will happen. So we're not hopeless, but we're also not helpless people either. You know, we have the word of God and the promises of God, God's Spirit dwelling within us, so we're not helpless people. So in these days we live in, we trust God, we pray for our country, and we look for open doors to speak the greatness of God's word to people. Today is Sunday, July the 4th, Independence Day, 2021. If you would, please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Freedom is not an idea invented by human beings. Freedom is God's idea, and it's God's desire for human beings. If you think back to the first part of the Bible in Genesis, when God formed, made, and created Adam and Eve, he designed them with freedom of will, freedom to think whatever they wanted to think, freedom to do whatever they wanted to do. God gave Adam and Eve freedom and dominion over all of his creation. In fact, God brought the animals to Adam to see what Adam would call them. God gave Adam the freedom to come up with the names. And if you remember, God said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. There was that one tree they were not supposed to eat from, but everything else, they had great dominion and freedom. So freedom was God's idea for human beings. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus Christ said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "Well, we're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." Really? So what are these Roman soldiers doing around? Yeah. What about the captivities? What about, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Wow, what a statement. See, a government may give or take away certain freedoms, right? I mentioned Proverbs 29:2 earlier. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. But regardless of what any government does or does not do, regardless of that, God's great plan of redemption and salvation brought the greatest freedoms to any human being who confesses Jesus as Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead. The greatest freedoms ever. We'll look a little bit at that this morning. Go to Colossians chapter 1. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What a great statement. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. If a person still needs to be redeemed, in other words, if someone is not born again, so if they still need to be redeemed, if a person still needs to be delivered from the power of darkness, they are not free. They're still slaves. They're still in bondage, right? As a result of being born again, we have been redeemed. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. And in other places we know it says we have been made righteous in the sight of God. We have, where did it say that? Translated as whom we have redemption through his blood. The end of verse 14, the forgiveness of sins. Boy, think about that in terms of freedom. We have freedom from guilt, sin consciousness, condemnation, because God has forgiven us all sins. How's that for some freedom? It's awesome. And so much more. And we have the freedoms that we have because of the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 3. Familiar verse. We probably know it by heart, but let's just turn to it because it's easy to turn to it, right? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish there contrasted with everlasting life. The word perish means to be obliterated, gone forever. You know, like I use as an example sometimes a flower. You can have a beautiful flower and it's in water and it looks nice and it lasts how long? Forever. No. One day you see it leaning and you know, then it's time to just, it's gone. That's perish. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, be obliterated, gone forever, but in contrast, have everlasting life. We have been delivered from the power of death itself because God has given us eternal life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's eternal life. Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "For as much then as the children," meaning human beings, Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," and we are, "he also himself likewise took part," Jesus Christ, "of the same." He was flesh and blood. He was a human being. "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Wow. Our adversary's days are numbered. There is a day coming when he will be wiped out, obliterated. That day is coming. And as you know, after the gathering together, when we, you know, it says that we will forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we will enjoy what it says in Revelation 21, where it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." There is a day coming when you and I will never, ever consider or think about or be concerned with death. There is no more such thing. There will be no more death. What a day. Talk about freedom. Verse 14 again, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Bondage because of the fear of death. Every human being is born with limited life. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 9, but he wrote, there's one event for all people. Whether you're righteous, whether you're a sinner, there's one event for everybody, the grave. It's kind of blunt in Ecclesiastes. But it's true, right? And when you think about that, if a person only has this life to live, and then that's it, there's nothing more. If a person does not have everlasting life, that's not freedom. That's bondage. God has given to every born-again one freedom from death itself, and we have eternal life, and therefore we can have the freedom from the fear of death, because we know what's coming. How blessed we are to know this from God's word. How blessed we are that God desired for us to live forever. In 1 Corinthians 15, we don't have to live our lives in bondage with the fear of death. Jesus Christ has conquered it. "And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16, 15, 16, "For if the dead rise not, well, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." It said in verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." That's that same word, perished. Obliterated, gone forever. Forever, gone. "If in this life," verse 19, "we If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. This great deliverance and freedom, it's available for all people. You know, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess, if you, anyone. John 3:16 said, whosoever believeth in him. It's available for any person, any nationality, regardless of social standing, intellect, male, female. It is wide open for anyone to receive. And we have this freedom because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And all the details about this great freedom that we have and what is now available to us as born-again ones, all of it is laid out in the seven church epistles. All we'd have to do is read these love letters from our Father to find out who we are, what we have, and see the great freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Reverend Cummins translates this in the Working Translation. He makes note that in the Greek there's two separate clauses. He translates it as thus. Christ freed us with freedom. Therefore, stand fast and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Of course, this is referring to, you know, the Old Testament law. We're no longer under the law. Christ fulfilled the law for us, right? We're under a different law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Christ freed us with freedom. Therefore, stand fast and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we are free from guilt and condemnation if we choose to accept that freedom. I mean, a person can be, as far as God's concerned, free from guilt and condemnation, but still live with guilt and condemnation, right? Not take advantage of the great freedom that we have to accept God's forgiveness, that he really forgave me and wiped it all away. We are free from guilt and condemnation because God has forgiven us. We are free from a limited existence because God has given us eternal life. And so we are also free from the fear of death itself. We are free from being limited to just body and soul people because God has given his children his spirit with the ability to operate the manifestations of the spirit. So we are not limited to just being body and soul people. Isn't that great freedom that we have? As born-again ones, we are free to enter into the throne room of God's grace that we may obtain grace and find that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access to God Almighty, the freedom to walk into God's presence as his children, to bear our heart, to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And Romans says nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Wow. And, you know, so much more in this chapter down to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, freedom. Only use not liberty or your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what I mentioned before. Freedom doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to make the right choices, right? I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, sure, you are. It doesn't mean well, everything you do is going to be the right choice, right? Brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That'd make a great headline, wouldn't it? You know, there's so much of that going on in our country today, to get people to hate each other, to bite and devour one another. And you see, I mentioned it like last week and I think the week before, I still believe that. As born-again believers, we need now more than ever to love one another. Love one another and serve one another. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of smoke screens. Sometimes Christians get caught up in battles. But we can't allow outside stuff or personal issues and challenges to discourage us. We can't allow those things to rob us of what God has done for us and in us because of the new birth and what He's given us. We need to hold fast to what God has provided for His children. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. 1 Corinthians 15. Again, we were there earlier, but let's go back. Let's start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How fast? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the ones that are alive when that happens, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this happens, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Over death itself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Tell you what, when Christ comes back, that's going to be a real Independence Day, isn't it? Woohoo! And we have God's word that that day is coming. And so since the Son has made us free, then we are free indeed, and we ought to let our light so shine among men that they could see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And today, as we celebrate our great country, the Independence Day, even in these turbulent times, we can, and we certainly do, pray that people's eyes could be open, that hearts may open, that there would be open doors to speak the light and the truth of God's word. We also pray that those with evil intentions in our country, to whatever those evil intentions are, change the Constitution, to bring in a whole new utopia for everyone, those that devise and plan and want evil, we pray that they could be stopped. And we also pray for those who love God, love this country, whatever area of influence that they might have, we pray that God would give them courage and that God would give them wisdom and that they would speak and act and that their voices could be heard. Those are good prayers, right? All of that is good. And, you know, if God puts something else on your heart, do it. But those things are good. But in the meantime, looking at the bigger picture, the eternal picture, with all that God has done for us and in us because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we ought to rejoice and live the freedoms that God has made available to us in the new birth. And give God the thanks. To Him be glory. And as far as, you know, praying for revival, which we do, we're going to close in Acts 16. You know, why not pray for revival Well, that'll never happen. Really? God told you that? Did God reveal to you? Don't even bother to pray for revival. It's, why not? In Acts chapter 16, verse 12, and from thence, this is Paul traveling, from thence to Philippi. All right, verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day, Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Lydia attended to the words that were spoken by Paul, and then it says God opened her heart. But before God could open her heart, before she could attend to words, someone had to speak the words to her, right? Exactly. And so, as we continue to pray for our country, as we continue to trust God in our, you know, in the personal things that we are dealing with, and believing His promises, and, you know, believing and living the freedoms that we have, we continue to pray for open doors to speak God's word, that someone may attend to the words that we speak, and God would open their hearts. You know, it's just that simple. We don't have to make people believe. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and it was, we were talking about stuff anyway, and I said, yeah, all we do is plant and water. That's what we do. We plant seeds and we water. That's it. We don't have to make it grow. If it doesn't grow, we don't condemn ourselves. Gosh, he did. I spoke the word to him, but he didn't. So just speak. That's all we do. We're the lights. You know, if people want the light, they get the light. If they don't, that's okay. But we ought to continue to live the great freedoms that we have, and we see that in the church epistles, what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if the Son shall make you free, and He has, we are free indeed. So, Father, thank you for all that Jesus Christ has done, accomplished for us, God, for all you've done for us and in us, and that we truly are your sons and daughters, and we truly are free. And Father, may we stand fast in all that you've given to us. May we just refuse to allow the commotion in the world, or the personal things that are facing us, or challenges. That, Father, may we continue to look to your word and believe your words, and let your word strengthen us. And, Father, as we continue on in our lives and in these days and times, we pray that you would help our country, that, Father, you would open doors for the light of your word to be spoken, for people to believe your word. And, Father, we pray for those who have positions of responsibility and authority and influence, wherever they may be, that God, you'd give them the courage and the wisdom to speak up and to do righteous acts, and that their voices could be heard. Thanks for the great privilege of sharing your word with your wonderful people. And Father, may we have a wonderful day today and tomorrow, celebrating the great freedoms that we have in our country. And we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to post this teaching up on the website a little later this afternoon. That's confidenceandjoy.com. And then I mentioned earlier that I did a post on Friday with a rather lengthy list of quotes. Some of them are just, I really like the one where most of them are the Founding Fathers, but there's a quote in there with Congress, the Bible in schools. act of Congress. That's a different Congress than we have now, but praise the Lord. Anyway, that's available to you as well. And feel free to share either of those things. Unless the Lord returns, we're going to be back here again next week, here in our home, and also on the phone line. So for those of you on the phone, thank you for joining us, being a part of this. I'm going to disconnect that now. Those of us here will enjoy fellowshipping with each other.